Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, White Sox fans. It is Crystal O'Keefe with episode 17 of Visiting Dugout, brought to you by the Southside Sox, a part of Fans First Sports Network. Today on the show, I have Chris Brown. He is of Motor City Metrics podcast and the Tigers minor league report. Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. You know, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Just a baseball fan. Just kind of nerded out for the last 20 years or so, and that eventually led into podcasts. But mostly I just like talking about baseball, and at one point my wife's like, go do something with this or else you're just going to annoy me. So you've been doing podcasts for like 8-9 years now and covering the Tigers and their minor league team for about the same length of time. So I have other interests, but nobody cares.
Yeah. I mean, we're just here for baseball. Let's be real.
Sure.
So the Tigers are in second right now in the American League Central, 3.5 games back from first. And that, you know, right behind the Twins, are kind of slowly making their way to 500, but we'll see. So what is the vibe right now in Detroit? Is it kind of like shock and awe, or what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. They started 2-9 and people were not hoping for that, you know, but it kind of felt inevitable. Like, yeah, this is just a bad team. And then they slowly turned things around, and they had a couple 5-game winning streaks, and they've been playing solid baseball. And it's just that the Central has been so poor so far this year that it feels really odd that they're in second place. Now, they've come within 2 games of 500 like 4 separate times, and each time they lose. And it just feels like it's an uphill battle. Fans thought that they had their chance to do it this past week. They had 2 against Pittsburgh and 3 at Washington, and they went 2-3. They're just a middling to poor team that has played a little bit above their head so far, I think.
As I was writing these notes, I did see that the Tigers have acquired outfielder Brady Allen from Miami in exchange for Korn's lead vocalist Jonathan Davis.
Yes, he's been unleashed. How old are we? The Freak on a Leash. Wasn't that a song by Korn?
It was.
You know, oddly enough, my nickname in high school was Korn, and I can't talk about it. But in any event, that's how I first found out about that band before they blew up. Somebody was like, hey, look, it's the band named Korn. That's a pretty minor deal. Jonathan Davis is a big leaguer. He's been in the big leagues before, but he was kind of a veteran minor leaguer or veteran on a minor league deal. And those guys tend to have opt-outs, I think, usually around June 1st. Like, if you're not in the big leagues, they get to go to a different team. So the Tigers, I think, were just like, all right, well, you know, the Marlins are apparently desperate for outfield help. So they traded for an A-ball outfielder who was a 5th-round pick a couple years ago. I don't think he's anything particularly special, but it's just kind of, depth move. They did it with Trace Thompson last year, former White Sox.
Trace Thompson.
He's been a White Sox twice. And then he went absolutely bonkers in L.A., and everybody was just couldn't stop complaining around here. Like, oh, yeah, I couldn't give this guy playtime. He's like 33. Nothing. This wasn't like you didn't give away a prospect. And then he's back in the toilet this year.
Got an airplane flying over.
A bombing run?
Yeah. So I just saw that and I laughed. And also, I have seen like 3 family values tours, if that does, disclose our age.
Yes. I went to the Warped Tour once. It wasn't really for me. I was like a big brother, like Big Brothers Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. I did that one when I was like 20. I had like a little 12-year-old little, they called him, and he was in a punk band. And so he couldn't wait to go see Less Than Jake and like Me First and the Gimme Gimmies and all that stuff. So I went with him to the parking lot of the Pontiac Silverdome to a Warped Tour, which is not really my scene, but it was kind of fun. It was interesting. So yeah, that's our era.
Did that a lot in high school. Less Than Jake on the Ernie Ball stage at the Vans Warped Tour.
Very nice.
I know all of that way too well. I'm a little embarrassed. Anyway, so Riley Green looks like he's finally kind of shaping up, unlocking his potential. Great for you guys. Is there anyone else that's really been hot right now? I know, my least favorite, Javi Baez was struggling for a bit, but is there anybody else that's been, really hot right now?
I didn't realize you're a Javi hater.
Mm.
Green is the one who's been on fire, like you said, and a lot of that is just kind of bad ball luck. He has been hitting the ball fairly hard, and that's just kind of who he was in the minors. There's not quite like a Tim Anderson hitter, but a guy who just he just gets hits. It like all he'll miss hit it, but it's over the shortstop's head. Like he just knows how to hit. And so he's been a little bit lucky, but he's definitely been carrying the team a little bit. Spencer Torkelson has picked things up a little bit. He's still not nearly what fans were hoping he would be. I assume it's a little bit similar to Andrew Vaughn. They've been compared a lot since both were playing high or college and high in high school, I think, in California, not college. But and then Zach McKinstry, oddly enough, that was another deal that fans hated immediately. The Tigers, right before the season started, they traded a double A reliever to the Cubs for Zach McKinstry, who was like 1 for 25 or 30 in spring training. And he got off to a rough start here. But ever since, like after the first 2 weeks of the season, he's been the most steady, dependable player on the team on both sides of the ball. So people are really kind of happy with that. But other than that, yeah, it's really been kind of hit or miss. Akil Baddoo has started picking things up again, which is really fun because he's always been a favorite of mine ever since a couple of years ago. It's just an unlikely story as a Rule 5 kid who came up and was basically an average big leaguer after having barely played in high A ball. And then last year was really rough for him, and he got off to a tough start this year too. But he's playing well. He's walking a ton, and he just hit his first home run of the season. So that's fun to see. But yeah, it's not an offensive juggernaut by any means. They're still one of the worst offenses in baseball. I think they have probably 15 fewer home runs than the White Sox this year, which I don't know how White Sox fans are feeling about their offense, but think worse, and that's the Tigers.
Well, we don't feel great, I will say that. I did have a question. My next one was really about Spencer Torkelson and, with his struggle and a little regression, is there any concern there, or do you think, it's just time will tell and he'll be better?
It's kind of a split camp right now. There are some people who they're people like the keepers of the faith, right? Like, it takes guys sometimes. Like Jarred Kelenic, it took him 2 years to figure things out. I'm a little bit skeptical, I think, but I was skeptical even when he was in the minors. We went and saw him when he was in the minors, and he was putting up big numbers, but there was something not quite right. And then he kept getting worse as he went up the levels, which is not terribly uncommon. But yeah, he's an interesting guy where, he was billed as this kind of big time power threat, and the power hasn't really shown up. He gets a lot of hard ball line drives right at people. And it feels like bad luck, but it also feels like it's happening so often that he must be kind of pitchable. Like pitchers know that if they put the ball on the outer edge or something like that, he'll hit it hard, but it's not going to do any damage. And so, yeah, I mean, he has been putting things together over the last 3, 4 weeks, which is nice to see, but it's still, the bar to be a successful first baseman is so high. I mean, you guys had one there with Abreu for a long time. Boy, it's kind of sad to see what's happened there, but so you have to be like 30% better than league average to be like a solid first baseman, and he's more like 10, 15 right now over the last couple of weeks, which is the best he's been in the big league. So he still needs to take a couple steps forward. There's some optimism, but I don't know. I before he even came up to the majors, I made the comparison to Rhys Hoskins, and people just killed me. They're like, "Oh my God, Rhys Hoskins sucks." And I'm like, "All right, well, he's going to hit 25, 30 home runs a year and hit like
He's
250 and
reliable.
want, yeah." But and now I think people would kind of kill for that. It's been it's there's not even really a comparison to what he's been right now. It's by war he's been one of the worst big leaguers over the last season and a half. But I don't know. He's still young. There's still time.
He is. But on the other hand, your bullpen is, fourth best right now, 2.87 ERA on like average. And then you have Will Vest doing some heavy lifting. He's got an ERA right now of 1.98 with 8 holds and 11 appearances. But he started off in spring training not so hot. So what's going on with him and your bullpen in general?
Yeah, that's a fascinating one because Will Vest was awful in spring training, and we actually went and saw him in Toledo, Triple A Toledo, and he was awful for like the first three or four outings in Toledo, and then something clicked, and his velocity kicked back up, and he's been very good for the last month, and yeah, it's really an interesting thing. It's almost getting to the point where we feel like the Tigers might be kind of really good at building a bullpen, making a bullpen, which is the exact opposite of what they were when they were actually trying to contend a decade ago. They had everything but the bullpen. They could never find a bullpen because they had a really good bullpen last year, and then they got rid of arguably their four best bullpen arms. They traded away Joe Jimenez, they traded away Gregory Soto, they traded away Michael Fulmer, and they let Andrew Chafin go in free agency. But Alex Lang is kind of their closer, who's not their closer. He closes games, but they'll also use him when they need him, in key situations. And he's been really reliable this year. He's got one of the best curveballs in baseball. And then Jason Foley is a guy that's kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, bullpen guys generally come from out of nowhere anyway, unless you're in that town. Like, who the hell's that? He was an undrafted free agent like 5, 6 years ago out of Northeastern. And he's always had a big fastball throwing up to 98, 99, but he's turned into this kind of like elite ground ball, weak contact guy. He doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, but to beat him, you have to string together three or four straight hits because he doesn't give up home runs. And so yeah, he's been really reliable. So you got those two guys. They picked up just a random 40-man, waiver move, Tyler Holton, a kid, I think he was with Arizona, and he's been a really solid lefty out of the bullpen for them. They have a Rule 5 kid named Mason Englert, who's another one who barely pitched in Double A last year. And his numbers aren't great. He's been giving up a couple home runs here and there, but still, he's pitching a lot better than any kid fresh out of Double A has a right to. So, yeah, they just seem to be able to build the bullpen, at least so far. You don't want to rely on that too much. And unfortunately, starting pitching hasn't been great. So I don't know how long it's going to last.
Feeling on that one. So this kind of leads it in. Do you have any really standout prospects right now? I know you do pay a lot of attention to the prospects with the minor league reports. Who kind of stands out for you?
Well, yeah, the Tiger system isn't particularly strong or deep. I think it's again kind of comparable to the White Sox. The big name right now is Colt Keith, which is a fun name too. He was a high school draft pick in 2020, fifth rounder. But he was a kid who, on talent, was probably more like a second, third rounder. And he tried to play the bonus bluffing game or whatever. We actually talked to him on our podcast. He's like, yeah, we screwed that up. Like, I didn't want, he had no intention of going to school, but they put their bonus too high or whatever. And so they came around and got him for like 500,000. And he's been awesome. Just last Tuesday in Double A, he went 6 for 6 with a cycle, two homers. It was a remarkable performance. He's probably the best hitter in their system. There are a lot of people who are excited about a kid in Triple A, another third baseman named Justin Henry Molloy, who the Tigers got from Atlanta for Joe Jimenez. And then they have, a small handful of interesting pitchers, but nobody who's really knocking on the door to help. Their top pick a couple of years ago, Jackson Jobe, out of high school, got hurt. He hurt his back. He hasn't pitched this year. He would only been in high A anyway, but still, pitcher's break. Wilmer Flores, the younger brother of Wilmer Flores, was an awesome story last year, but he's kind of regressed a little bit this year. He's not throwing as hard. He isn't performing as well. They have another pitcher named Ty Madden, who was first rounder 2 years ago. He's been okay. So it's really, there's some interesting names, but nobody that's like, really knocking down the door, like, hey, this is the next big thing.
Yeah, I get that. But as we think about prospects, we also think about Miggy finally slowing down and retiring soon. So are you ready for this? I feel like it's been a long time coming, and we've kind of had this Miggy retirement parade for the last like 3 years almost.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he hasn't been good since 2016. I mean, this is rough, and it's been really hard to see. There are flashes. Last year, he was still capable of hitting. He was hitting 300 up through July, and then just the bottom fell out, and it hasn't come back. And you know, Tigers fans always knew that this was going to happen. I think there was some hope when he signed his giant extension. Like, hey, you know, Hank Aaron played well into his 40s, and hey, look what Big Poppy and Albert Pujols did. And it's just not. He doesn't have functional knees right now. He's got a bad back. He doesn't have any power, which is kind of crazy because at one point, you know, this was a guy who had some of the most natural. He was never like a big time power guy. He was just so strong and such a good hitter that he'd hit 40 home runs in his prime. And I don't know if he's going to hit 3 this year. It's really sad. And he's just basically an empty hole in the lineup. And yeah, right now it's basically he's on the team to collect weird going away gifts from other teams, rocking chairs and cowboy boots and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, this is the bed you made. You signed him to this enormous deal. You're paying him $32 million, but this is he's one of the worst players in baseball right now. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, and he just turned 40, so it's not like he's going to magically get better. He's not Dustin Verlander.
No. That's a bummer. There are a lot of guys the Tigers could have paid for a long time when they picked. And, you know, it's hard to complain about. The guy was just one of the best hitters of his generation, if not of all time, in his prime, you know. But yeah, it's been such a steep decline. It's really tough to watch.
Yeah. So do you have an MVP candidate kind of thus far on this Tigers team?
Well, so far for this year's team, it's Eduardo Rodriguez, which is kind of a very interesting roller coaster ride because last year he disappeared for 2 months. There was some family stuff going on and he just left. And not only that, he didn't really communicate with the team while he was gone. It was bizarre. And, you know, I don't think anybody necessarily holds a super grudge against him. Like, you got to take care of what's going on in your family, right?
Yeah.
But people were like, this guy's a bum. He took money. And then this year, he's just been outstanding. He had a rough start against Pittsburgh. But before that, he was like 5 or 6 straight starts of really excellent pitching. He's kind of a technician. He's not going to blow people away, but he'll work the edges. He's got a cutter and a change up that he just he'll deliberately throw it an inch off the plate, and if he's getting it, you're in trouble. But he's easily been their best player so far this year. And then of course that brings the conundrum because they signed him to a 5-year deal, but he's got an opt out after this year.
So
it's a very market friendly deal. Mm-hmm. That's the right way to put it. He's due like $49 million over the next 3 years or something, even less than that. So if on the open market, he's probably getting 5 years and 110, 120 million. So he'd be dumb not to opt out. So then the question is, can the Tigers try to work out some kind of an extension? If they do, though, to make it worth his while, they're going to have to pay him like $30, $35 million if they add a couple of years. So we're looking at potentially the Tigers trading away their MVP, their best player, sometime in June or July, because if not, they're going to lose him for nothing. And it's just a tough situation.
Woof. So last one before we kind of take a quick break, where do you see the Tigers sitting, you know, as we get to maybe July? And then when we get to, again, September, do you think they're going to kind of maintain this flirtation with the Twins, or where are we at?
Not really. I mean, I think there's a path for that to happen, and it's basically if Torkelson and Green continue to improve, which is not out of the question, right? They're second-year big leaguers. It's entirely possible. I just tend to think they're probably going to be kind of a roller coaster ride with those two and with the team in particular or in general. But I think they'll probably hang around, you know, 5-6 games out until around July, and then I suspect that they'll say, hey, we're not going to compete. Even if we did win the division, you know, we're going to get absolutely destroyed by any of the good teams in the East or the West. So then they may move on from Eduardo Rodriguez or either, you know, some of those bullpen arms we talked about. None of them are impending free agents, but it's always seemed to me that having good relievers on a bad team is kind of a luxury. And you know, it's the old spoiler on a mail truck or whatever you want to call it, like something that you don't need. It's kind of cool looking. And you can usually get an outsized return for a reliever because teams who are getting relievers are desperate to win and will give you a little bit more than maybe otherwise you would think so. There is a scenario where they stay in it. You know, they haven't played the Twins yet. Maybe they go and beat the Twins head up, and they do have some help coming. They lost Matt Manning to injury earlier this year. It was a freak one. You know, he took a comebacker and broke his toe. And Tarek Skubal, who was their best pitcher last year before he went down with injury, he's scheduled to come back sometime in the next 2 months. So there'll be some reinforcements there in the starting pitching. That might help. They also, Spencer Turnbull is one of their starters, and I don't know how much of his little drama made it to the national level. He's an interesting dude. I don't want to get too much into it, but like hyper Christian and was like dating, like there was like a Christian influencer couple, and they broke up, and suddenly Spencer Turnbull's dating the woman, and like it
Oh,
was suspicious timing.
I think I did hear this. Now that I'm thinking about it, that does sound familiar.
But he was a guy a couple of years ago, looked like he was going to be a key member of the rotation, threw a no-hitter in Seattle, and it was like, hey, all right. And then he blew his arm out. And he came back this year, and he hasn't been terribly effective. And they tried to send him to Toledo, AAA, a couple of weeks ago. And it's a little bit odd because he's like 31, but he didn't make the majors until he was old, like 27. And by all accounts, he kind of threw a fit. You kind of have to read between the lines there, but after like 4 or 5 days, we're like, hey, he hasn't reported to Toledo yet. And then all these stories came out like, oh, so he had a meeting with the GM and the manager for like 3 hours. Like, well, geez, what could have gone on there? And suddenly he's got a new agent. He changed his agent and he got Scott Boras as his agent. And
I
yeah. And this is all because basically, had he gone down to Toledo and spent like a month there, it would have prevented him from becoming a free agent after next year. He'd have to wait another full year, which is like, I understand from a labor perspective, I'm for labor. Like I would protest that too, right? But it's a situation where I don't think the Tigers were trying to game the service time or whatever. I think they just wanted him to not be pitching for them. He wasn't pitching well. So they kind of worked out a compromise. Suddenly he had a neck injury. And so now he's going to be in Toledo rehabbing, but he'll still be getting major league service time. So, yeah, there's a little bit of drama there. People are talking about like, hey, maybe trade him to St. Louis for Tyler O'Neill. We'll trade problem for problem. Yeah, so that's, like I said, it's weird team drama that I don't think makes it to the national level. But he could also come back and start pitching well,
He could.
which again, it's possible. So they could get some reinforcements there and they could stay in it. But I just don't think the talent is quite there. That they're kind of overly reliant on a handful of players, and if those guys have cold streaks, then they're out of luck.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take just a very quick break to pay some bills. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. I am here again to talk to Chris about the Tigers. So, how do you feel going into this series? Because it seems like these teams might be more evenly matched. I know we'll be down a starting pitcher. Like, as we're recording, the White Sox are playing a bullpen game as our starting pitcher, number four, Redacted, has injured himself. So I don't even know who is going to be pitching for, this next series. So do you feel good about going into this game with a more evenly matched, or do you think maybe one is better than the other?
Well, I've always felt that the White Sox have more pure talent than the Tigers. Basically, player for player. I don't know where the Tigers would, Tigers' best player is probably Riley Green, and he's not as physically talented as Luis Robert. I think they're close enough that it could be an interesting series. My guess, it's a 4-game series. My guess is it goes 2-2, but I could see it going 1-3 either way. The Tigers, their starting pitching hasn't been particularly great either. They are, I think that you're going to get Michael Lorenzen, who's pitched pretty well lately, and Eduardo Rodriguez, who's pretty well. But before that, you're going to get Joey Wentz and Alex Fajardo, who are two younger, more inexperienced starters who have been really, Wentz in particular, has been really up and down. When he's on, he looks really good, but he's had a lot of rough outings. Just, I think he got beat up by the Nationals yesterday. I want to say he gave up 10 hits in like 2 1/3 innings. That's not great. But if the Tigers can get a lead, as we talked about, the bullpen has been really pretty stout for the most part this year. So, yeah, it may be one of those series where whoever has the lead after 5-6 innings is gonna take it. But yeah, I would imagine it ends up pretty even. There's but I wouldn't be shocked if the White Sox talent overwhelms the Tigers. You know, they just swept the Royals, right?
Well, yeah, but the Royals are also last place.
Yeah, but you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, right? The Tigers didn't. The Tigers lost 2-3 against the Nats, who I believe are a last place team. So, you know, you take the wins where you can get them. But yeah, I mean, the Tigers are home for whatever that matters. Maybe that gives them a little bit of an edge. But yeah, I wouldn't. It's starting to heat up too. I'm sure the weather's pretty similar there, so the ball's flying a little bit more. But yeah, I don't feel particularly strong about the Tigers taking this series.
I wish I could make it up for the series because I love going up to – I love Comerica. People really sleep on your ballpark. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I still feel bad that I couldn't meet you out there that last year.
I'll be up. It's not that long of a drive. But, yeah, my kids were obsessed because of, like, the little area with, like, the carousel. And my son was like, these are the best tacos I've ever had when he was at the little taco place. And, you know, it's just it's a cool ballpark. I wish people would, like, go. I feel like it's been slept on so much, but
yeah, there's a that's another kind of split camp thing here where everybody loved Tiger Stadium so much, but it really was a dump. Like,
yeah,
it was just old. Like they could have. There are a lot of things about it that were cool. It was a very intimate stadium. You were like right on top of the field, but there were tons of seats that were basically useless. You couldn't see the field. It smelled like pee.
Yeah,
and you know, all that stuff. But Comerica has its fun little things, the carousel, the Ferris wheel, and yeah, that my wife absolutely loves. There's one sort of street taco nacho place that she just, like, we've gone to games a couple times just so she could get the nachos. It felt like a terrible financial decision, but I went for it because I'm like, okay, I get some baseball and some nachos. But yeah, I know, I think it's a fun park. I've liked going there ever since when it first opened. My buddy and I, we were 20, we would just go and get loaded and hang out by the statues in center field and yell at players.
Yeah.
And I remember I've told a story in our podcast before, but Jose Cruz Jr. was an outfielder for the Blue Jays. And we were yelling at him relentlessly to the point where he gave us the finger one time. And now his son is in Double-A for the Tigers.
Oh, no.
I actually told the story to his son too, and his son laughed. So that's how old I am. But
it's okay.
Yeah, it's a fun part.
Yeah, I like it a lot. We always have fun when we go there. And I just love the atmosphere because you've got like all four like really big teams just right there within walking distance. It's kind of the same with Pittsburgh, but even in Detroit, it's even more walkable than it is in Pittsburgh. They're right on top of each other. So it's just this cool strip of just sports and good places to eat. And you've got M&M's restaurant there if you want
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, it's right there. So that the line was wrapped across the building last time I was in Detroit. So
I've never tried it, but yeah, it's kind of funny that I was like, oh, look at that, Mom's Spaghetti. Yeah, there are particular times of the year, like it's been forever, but back in the days when the Red Wings and the Pistons were both good, the Pistons, they used to play farther away, but when they were both good and like the Tiger season was just starting. Yeah, downtown used to be pretty wild, but yeah, it's been a rough go for the professional sports teams here for about a decade plus.
Yeah.
But it's odd. The Lions fans are the most optimistic right now, which just blows my mind.
I do need to get up. I haven't been to – I mean, I went to the Joe. That's how I know the Red Wings, so I need to get up there to see what's going on now, but another day.
There you go. You're always welcome.
Yes. Back to the series. What are your keys for the Tigers to take this series?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think getting some power from the heart of the lineup is key because they just don't hit for much power this year. So you really have to put together these rallies and just being able to get like in the Nats game yesterday, I want to say they walked like 8 times. They were showing really good patience. But they couldn't get the big hit when they needed it. They had the bases loaded a couple times. One time with no outs, didn't score, which is always just the most frustrating thing in the world. So they just need to get some big, you know, 2-3 run homers. And I think if they do that, and they'll probably win. But if they can't get the big home runs, it's going to be a struggle for them.
That's
And then
fair.
you're getting some length from the starters, particularly the two younger guys. If they can go give them 5, 6 innings, then I think they've got a good chance.
Yeah. Are your biggest fears heading into this series by chance Jake Berger or anybody like Luis Robert Jr., even Gavin Sheets, who is raking?
I'd be honest with you, I didn't even look to see who's been tearing it up for the White Sox. I thought that Luis Robert has been playing really well lately, ever since the whatever weirdness was going on there with,
Bench incident.
not knowing who the bench coach was. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think, Abreu's gone, and Abreu was an absolute torture chamber of a human for the Tigers when he just destroyed them constantly. He's one of the biggest, we call them Tigers killers here, right?
Yeah.
Guys that just destroy the team. So there's a big sigh of relief there, but Tim Anderson just always, particularly against Matthew Boyd, I think he owns him. Now, I don't know if Boyd is going to pitch in that series. I don't think he is. But Anderson is always, he's just always been such a clever, smart, talented hitter that they can't ever get him out consistently. They'll get him out, they'll have one game, whatever, and then he'll go 3 for 4 next game like that. So he always, like, if he's hitting, they're in trouble. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've had issues with Giolito before, when he, especially when he first started, doing the change up in the zone or whatever. They just couldn't hit it whatsoever. He's been kind of up and down this year, or not necessarily up and down, but not as dominant as he once was, but pretty good.
He had a rough go at the beginning, but now he seems to really be back in and he's doing very well, and he will likely be that opener pitcher
Yeah,
for
sure.
the Thursday game. So it'll probably be him and Lance Lynn one of those days, and then who knows for the next two. But yeah, Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito both really had some issues at the beginning, and now they're kind of back and doing what we know that they are capable of doing.
And I have to, I mean, you got to cross your fingers here. I know that Dylan Cease has not been nearly as good this year. It was something I think we talked about the last time we talked to you and Janice, maybe, about
Yeah.
Dylan Cease has absolutely dominated the Tigers in his career. And I'm trying to find the stats right now. Let's see. Here we are. He is 10-1 against the Tigers in his career in
Oh.
13 starts with a 1.72 ERA. 73 innings, 88 strikeouts, 24 walks.
Yeah, that sounds like our Dylan. You will likely face him one of those games during the series.
14 earned runs in 13 starts.
Yeah, he's good. He again was another one who he looked very bad in spring training, but normally if he looks very bad in spring training, he will come out and dominate. And he's been one of those who had a few little hiccups, but has been, still very good. Not 2022 good, but still, I can't complain about him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we talked about it before the season, and I keep saying it. I feel like the White Sox have more talent on paper, but I mean, you could see a situation where those three starters we mentioned, Lynn, Giolito, and Cease, they all shove, and the Tigers are out of luck.
Yeah.
Odds are not all three of them are going to do it, but I could see it. So, yeah, I mean, it's always fun to play the White Sox. It's a rival, but like I said, it's probably 2-2.
Yeah,
We'll see.
that's fair. So we'll move away from this mid off before we end.
Listen to
So
kids.
yeah, when we talk about baseball in general, what teams are really sticking out to you so far this year? I mean, I know the Rays are hot and they will probably remain hot, but who's really sticking out or who might be a big underdog for this season?
Well, yeah, I tend to, I guess I tend to be more cynical, so I pay more attention to the teams who are really disappointing so far.
Okay, fair.
Which has been like the Padres and Cardinals, right? To a
Yes.
certain extent, the White Sox. But yeah, I mean, the Rays have been so incredibly good, but it remains remarkable to me that the Orioles are playing as well as they have been, given that they didn't do anything in the offseason. They signed Kyle Gibson, right? And their hot, young rookie Grayson Rodriguez hasn't been awesome, but they just, It's that you know, Houston Astros GM tree or whatever, where they seem to know how to win somehow, and it's super frustrating because the Tigers and Orioles kind of bottomed out and started rebuilding at the exact same time, and the Orioles are like three levels ahead of the Tigers. But yeah, so I've been impressed with them, and then a lot of it is we're still so early in the season. I mean, we're like a quarter over. But a lot of times you'll see where teams like the Mets and the Phillies are just kind of hovering around 500. And it seems like every year a team like that will, in July or August, just go on a run where they win 25 out of 40 games or 25 out of 30 games or something like that and take over. And I would assume that like the Mets seem to be on a bit of a heater right now. They keep winning these late games, which is always a good way to like, you know, get some momentum so that they could get it going. Verlander pitched 8 innings last night.
Yeah,
Scherzer pitched well too. It's like, okay, well that's why you're paying $80 million or whatever. But yeah, and then other than that, like it's fun to see teams like the Rangers playing well. And this is something I think Tigers fans and White Sox fans can kind of you know, kind of handshake in the middle about, right? Like it's weird when you spend money on good players how your team gets better, right? What a
Right.
bizarre concept.
And they're not, and I mean, DeGrom isn't even in right now. He's still like rehabbing.
Yeah, but they, I mean, you know, Simeon has been awesome for them. Seager was been good when he's healthy. They've got Adolis Garcia, so it's been fun to watch them. The Diamondbacks are another kind of fun young team that are, you know, building from within and doing some good things. So it's nice to just see some new names out there. Like it was nice to see the Mariners last year, right? Like these teams have been struggling or kind of mid, as you said, over the last decade or whatever. It's cool to see them performing well. And then, you know, it doesn't hurt to see teams like the Yankees just kind of playing okay, but they're like 10 games out or whatever because the Rays and the Orioles are so good. So,
I love it. Yeah, I hope
yeah.
the Mets can continue to go on a tear as I have three different games I will be attending. So if they
Ah,
could
so you
just
do?
continue that tear, at least for June and July, that would be great.
Nice. How many parks have you been to?
Probably about half at this point.
Nice.
I'm checking off my New York parks in July. And next year, I think I'm going to head out to see the Coliseum before it is gone. But then that's, a quick little jump right over to,
San Francisco.
to San Francisco. So I think I'm just slowly kind of knocking them all down, trying to get to where I can be at all 30.
I just get the ice cream helmet whenever I go to a different stadium. A little, do you collect anything? Is it?
I mean, I always do get ice cream there, so I have a bunch of those helmets. But I usually buy myself a shirt that's kind of more either a player that I really love, like I'll get the jersey, or just something that like really encapsulates the park. Like in Boston, I got one that it's green, it's got Fenway on it, and it's got like a little outline of the park. So I will always get myself a shirt when I'm there, and my kids collect baseballs from each stadium. So I
Nice.
try to go and find like the coolest looking baseballs, especially if they've got, again, like the ballpark on it. So they both get baseballs. And now that I have a puppy, she most recently got
Oh.
a plush baseball from Cincinnati.
Nice.
So, because I was there.
I was worried the puppy was getting the decorative baseballs or whatever. I'm like, oh no.
No.
Dogs like to tear apart baseballs. I remember seeing the inside of a baseball for the first time because of my dog.
Yeah, she's still got the really sharp puppy teeth, so
Oh God.
she's not
Yeah.
getting the fun stuff.
Cute.
But yeah, so I do. I like to collect just little things, and I do usually bring home the helmets too. But yeah, I have so much fun, and my editor just got me this amazing book. It was like a basically like a diary for all the parks, and you can write, different things about the game and souvenirs and all this cool stuff. So I'm just like, well, I'm going to utilize this because
Yeah.
I always go back to ballparks too. I mean, especially the ones that I can easily drive to. So
That's
that'll.
awesome. Like a baseball passport.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what
Stamp.
it is. So it'll be fun. But I'm excited to. I'm barely seeing the White Sox this year. I'll see them in New York, but I will be in Pittsburgh in a couple weeks to see Pirates Mets, which I just hope both teams have fun, honestly. But, yeah, it'll be fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll be back up to Detroit so that we can actually hang out.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm envious of your travels. I've only been to a handful of big league stadiums, unfortunately. I just, the way things have gone, but I need to get to more. So maybe that'll be my goal before I'm 50.
Yeah, this is my treat yourself thing where I kind of just do a solo trip every year and I try to knock out at least one ballpark. Like last year was Boston, this year is New York, and then next year's Northern California, maybe Southern the year after. We'll see. But so, yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, again, please just remind people where we can find you because you are follow.
Our podcast is Motor City Metrics. If you want to listen to some nerdy Tigers baseball stuff, we also do a Tigers Minor League Report, which is mostly a Twitter account, but we have a website. I shouldn't say mostly a Twitter account, but we put a lot of minor league clips on Twitter. Sometimes they may even involve the Charlotte Knights, but that's at Tigers ML Report. And then, and you can find me at Chris Brown 0914, common name, on Twitter. For now, I don't know. I'm on Blue Sky, but I haven't, I've downloaded. I'm not actually on it.
Oh.
One of these days, maybe we'll, migrate over there. But for now, just on Twitter.
All right. Well, again, Chris, thank you so much. Best of luck in this series. Maybe we will just split it so we can both be happy.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Goodbye.